Some good news, Joe and Jude are coming home. Be this week sometime, I guess. Linda?
Joanne knows what's happening with them.
Next weekend. Well, that's good to hear. Prayers for Chris's dad. He's up at the hospital. He's not doing good. He has a blood infection, liver problems, so he's not doing good at all. What do you guys have for a way of prayer request? Jennifer?
I have to put my mom down tomorrow.
Oh. Yeah, that's always hard. Who else? Andrew?
They're changing our schedule for the next 2 weeks, and hopefully it stays that way. We're going to go to 410s.
Well, that's good. Well, you got your prayers answered.
Well, hopefully it stays that way, because it's a kind of trial. If workers do good, they'll keep it at that. If they don't, they'll...
Well, let's hope. Yeah. What else? Continued prayers for me and Joe in the ministry. Also remember your ministry, giving and graces unto the Lord, and pray that God gives us the doctrines that we need. So let's bow for a silent prayer. We'll get into the class. Our dear Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for your grace and your word. We pray you'd help us to put these doctrines together in our own minds so that we might have a more clear understanding of you and our relationship to you. For we thank you and pray in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, kids, I have a class for you today. And I'm going to teach you something you can take with you throughout your whole lives. So first thing I want you to do is turn in your Bibles to the front of your Bibles to the Book of Index. And adults, I want you to show the kids in their Bibles where the Book of Index is. I'm sure you have one. The reason why I want to do it like this is for the sake of, sometimes it's hard to remember a particular small book in the Old Testament. But if you can remember where to look at, where they can go to that in the beginning. So raise your hands when you have found the Book of Indexes.
Table of contents.
Table of contents. You've got yours, you kids got yours, Ava's got yours. All right, we're all set. Okay, now I want you to find the Book of Malachi. M-A-L-A in the index book. So you got Malachi. Everybody find it? All right. That's one more to go. Well, I want you to underline the word Malachi. So if you underline the word Malachi, then you know it's something that you looked at once before. My problem is I don't always remember the book, chapter, and verse, but I remember it's on this side of the page or that side. Just something to help you out. Does everybody have the Book of Malachi found? You do, you do. How about back there with him? Okay. Turn to the Book of Malachi. Raise your hand when you find it. You'll have the number there, like page number, so-and-so. So everybody find the Book of Malachi. Linda, did he find it? Not yet? Okay. Chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. Verse 6. You got verse 6? I want you to draw a circle around verse 6. So you always have that. This is a verse I want you to take with you the rest of your life. And I'll tell you why. Because in this world, everything changes. Your life changes. Your body changes. Relationships. Jobs, schools, friends. Sometimes it's fun and other times it's scary because change disorients us. But there's something that never changes, and that's God. He says, I am the Lord, I change not. Now I want you to remember that. I am the Lord, I change not. Your body changes, you go from being a little baby up to being a small child, boy or girl. Then you go change and you become teenagers. Then you change and you get out of high school and you become young adults. Then you get married and have kids and you have changes again. But the changes just keep on rolling. You get middle-aged, hair starts to fall out, eyes start to fade. And then you keep changing, you get older. People that you've known and loved die, or parents divorce, friends go off and do their thing and you're left without friends. Jobs change, countries change, society changes. Everything, in fact, you can mark this down, everything about living on the temporal earth, this planet, changes, constantly changes. So what you need is to be able to grab a hold of something that never changes. And that something is God. And in your Bibles, you all have the word the Lord. Ava, is yours say, I am the Lord? Verse 6. Now the reason why, if you go to the front part of your Bibles, which we won't do, when they come to the Tetragrammaton of the Hebrew Yahweh, they always translate it as the Lord. But that's not his name, it's just a title. So what we want to do is to give you the actual word, and the actual word is right here. Y-A-H-W-E-H. So what we have instead of I am the Lord, I want you to remember this. You can write it down above the Lord, Yahweh. And I've written it down here. So now what we have is I am Yahweh. I change not. Our God, and his name is Yahweh, never changes. So you want to keep that in mind. Malachi 3:6 says, I am Yahweh, I change not. And that's the verse I want you to take with you throughout your lives. Your God, if you have believed on Christ as your Savior, the name of your God is Yahweh, and he changes not. So that's why we can go to him every day in prayer. And he's our rock. He's our stability. He's our foundation. And regardless of how much things change in our lives, that never changes. Now we want to take a look at his name. Now the name in the Hebrew is Yahweh. Actually, you remember when Moses talked to God? God was in a burning bush. And he says, well, who shall I say sent me? You know, you're going to a bunch of hard-headed people. And they say, I am that I am. Wouldn't you like to know what the Hebrew says? This is what they would have heard. Eyah, Asher, Eyah. That's his name, Eyah. Now it comes from the Hebrew verb haya, which is a verb to be, like the Greek, I am. Christ used that very expression. Do you know that? Christ says, ego, I be. When he says, I am. Or I am the I am. He's the same God who was with Israel in the Old Testament, who became a man in the New Testament. Now, what does that name mean? Because names have meanings. Words have meanings in the Hebrew. So, what it means is this. I am what I have always been. I want you to think of that. I want you to have three slots in your mind. The past, the present, and the future. So when he says, I am, or Eya, Asher, Eya, or Yahweh, he says, I am now what I have always been, and will be for all eternity. That's what his name means. So now it's a name, but it's descriptive of a characteristic about him. Jacob or Yaakov in the Hebrew meant cheater, deceiver, supplanter. Prince of Israel is what Israel means, or the prince of El. Micaiah, who is like unto Yah. So their names all have significant meanings. God is called El Shaddai, and that has a meaning. The powerful one. El, the powerful one. El Elyon. El, the highest El, or the highest God. So we can see their names have meanings. Yehoshua, or the shortened derivative of Yeshua, means Yah's salvation, Yah's deliverer, Yah's healer. So it's not like people think of these stupid names they give their kids today. It's ridiculous. But nevertheless, that's what it is. So we can look at Yahweh and realize that I am what I have always been and will be for all eternity. What I am now, I have always been like this from eternity past. And I will be like this from now to eternity future. I will be what I am and what I was. That's what his name means. Therefore, I change not. I will not change. I cannot change. He's perfect in himself. We could always also look at this from the standpoint of the verb to be denotes existence. To be or not to be, that is a question. So it's denoting existence. So when Christ said, ego, I am me, I exist. That's really a definitive statement. I exist, I have always existed, and I will always exist. Now we're looking at our God is a true being who has always existed. Not only that, we could call him, if I was to take his name and bring it up into the modern day English, I would call him the Eternal One. Because when I say I exist, past, present, and future, what I'm saying is he's the Eternal One. So your God is eternal. But you two have something in common. If you have believed on Christ as your Savior, young people, you are eternal. Now your body's going to change. Relationships are going to change. Society, everything about us changes. But you, on the inside, young people, you are eternal. And that's because you've been born again by the Spirit of God. Another way we can look at this is what I am today, I have always been from all eternity. And will continue to be for eternity future. Say, can you do that? Are you allowed to do that with the Bible? Yes, because we're defining concepts. And you cannot define Old Testament concepts with just a word. Because they didn't think like that. They thought conceptually. So when we use his name, I exist, I have always existed and I always will exist because that's what his name means, that's who he is. What I am today, I have always been from all eternity and will continue to be for eternity future. So what I want you to think of this too, lid. You know, you've heard the expression, keep a lid on it. L-I-D, length, intensity, and depth. What are you talking about, Phillips? Length. When you're looking at the Word of God, the doctrines of God's Word, or just looking at a name like we have here, we want to look at our look at God's Word from the length of it. How much time do we spend in it? How much time are we devoting to this concept? Now, I've given you three separate definitions of God's names so that you can think a long time about it. The intensity of it is how much you're applying your mental faculties and concentration on it. Intensity. And then depth. I don't want to hear anybody say the Lord, because his name is Yahweh, not the Lord. And I want you to be able to look at the depth, and now we're looking at the depth of what that word means. And as you think about that, you're going to put a lid on it, L-I-D. So what I am today, I've always been from all eternity, will continue to be for eternity future, and I change not. So regardless, you'll have friends that forsake you. You'll have very good friends, friends of many years, and they'll forsake you. Well, I can tell you, I've been through it many times. It hurts. It hurts to lose a husband or a wife or a parent or a friend or a child. All of that hurts. Because your life is changing in ways that you didn't want it to change. You've got to have something stable to hang on to, something that's rock solid, it's a foundation. That's not going to change. And God does not change. He said, because of that, I might want to look it up myself. I, Yahweh, do not change. So you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. You see, he gave his word to them. They deserve to be destroyed. And the reason why they weren't destroyed is because he changes not and he keeps his word. Now this becomes the foundation. The thing that you have to have about with a foundation, foundations have to be solid and stable. Why? So they don't move. You can't have a moving foundation if you have a building built on top of it. What will happen to the building if you do? It'll fall down, especially if it's a stone building. So its most important thing is to have a foundation. Society has to have a foundation. You have to have stable governments with good laws, because you need that to build a society, to have men and women getting married and having children and building families and creating things. You can't have this flux all the time. And that's what's happening in America, is they're trying to undo all the years of laws and things that have been hammered out so that we could have a stable foundation in our society. Now they're wanting to change all of that at the very bottom level, basic level. And that's destructive. Stable marriages are important to society. Because every time a man and a woman get divorced, it destabilizes, first of all, the children. Secondly, it destabilizes the friendships that they had made, relationships. And then the rest of the people in the town are destabilized to a degree. And when it's a wholesale epidemic, it destabilizes the whole community. When I was attending a Baptist church back in the 60s in Oroville, one in 400 fundamental Christians got a divorce. One in 400. You know what it is now? One in two. 50% of them getting a divorce. Is that good or bad for a church? Yeah. Or a town or anything. You gotta have stable foundations. But there is one foundation that's rock solid and beyond, and that's our God Yahweh. Because He changes not. Never has changed, never will change. Therefore, He becomes a foundation that's solid, permanent, and eternal. Something that we can build our lives on. We've talked about that different times about in the church, listening to doctrine instead of going by your emotions like these goofy churches do today. When you teach doctrine, you're giving foundation stones for solid marriages, to raise your kids, for businesses and finance and horticulture and you name it, so we can build our lives on. And young people, Ava, we are eternal inside. Now, it may not seem a lot to you now, but I'm telling you, when you get older and you look in the mirror, you're going to see changes. You're going to find an old man or an old woman looking back, but inside you haven't changed. Because inside you're eternal and you think, what in the world is going on? So this is where you have to keep your eyes on Christ. You know that passage in Hebrews 12 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of the faith of us all, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the Father. That's our stability. That's our rock. That's our anchor. And even though, like a boat out in the water and the wind and the waves churning everything up, the boat's going up and down and all cattywampus, but down at the bottom, your anchor is tied into the soil, and it changes not. And our anchor is in heaven. Now because our God does not change, His sovereignty is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He does not change in His sovereignty. That means that He's given us free will, and He has free will, but His will overrides all wills. So I can trust Him. I can rely upon Him because of His sovereignty. His sovereignty takes me throughout eternity future. His sovereignty protects me from the attacks of Satan. So He'll never change in His sovereignty. Secondly, another characteristic of God's essence is His righteousness. Yahweh is righteous. He has always been righteous, and He always will be perfectly righteous. So I can always count on Him for that. Third, God is fair. Yahweh has always been fair. He always will be fair. Saw his dealings with me in his justice is fair. All of his dealings with you, me, all the angels, fallen and unfallen, he is always unchanging in his fairness. He has been fair since eternity past and will be fair into eternity future. Does this sound like a rock solid foundation for our lives? Yes, it does. Yahweh is love. He always has been love. And he always will be love. His nature and character and essence is one of love. That never changes. He is unchanging. When he says, I change not, he's unchanging. He couldn't change if he wanted to change. He doesn't want to change because he's perfect in the way he is. And to think of this, before he created anything, before he created the angels, he was always the same. So when you think of him sitting on his throne in heaven, these are the things that you need to think about him. And I'm sure one of these will help you get through a trial in your life, if you write them down. Truthful. Yahweh is truthful. Always has been, always will be. He said, I cannot lie. What that means is that dunamis, he lacks the ability to lie. On the other hand, Satan, Lucifer, the devil, he lies all the time. It's his native language. But our God cannot and will not lie. He's always been truthful, always will be. Yahweh is all present. What does that mean? It means that he exists everywhere at one time. Always has, always will. He fills the universe. He fills heaven. We move and live and talk in his being. He's here in this town. He's here in this room. He's inside of us. That's called the omnipresence of God from the Latin. So, Yahweh, our God, who changes not, is always present, always has been, always will be. Another aspect of his nature is that he's all powerful. What does that mean, he's all powerful? He has all the power in the universe in him. All of it. He created things by just commanding them to come into existence. He created heavens and he created the earth. He created us, created Adam and Eve, created us again. So think about this. Your God, Yahweh, is all powerful. There's no problem that you will ever have in your life that he does not have the power to handle. There used to be a book called Your God is Too Small. It had to do with things along that line. People limit God because of the limit of their thinking. God has no limitations to his power. Another attribute of God is he's all-knowing, omniscient. There isn't anything that he doesn't know. And he was all-knowing when? When was he all-knowing? He He was all-knowing in eternity past. And he will be all-knowing in eternity future. God knew all the knowable. Whatever could be known, he has already known that. And when did he know that? Before time began. So do you think God knows more about your situation than you do? Do you think that God has a better plan on how to deal with your situation better than you? Has God ever asked any of you for wisdom? Did he ever come to you scratching his head saying, I don't know, what do you think I should do? Or is it the other way around? We ask him for wisdom. Why? Because we believe he has it. Yahweh, our God, is eternal. He's the only eternal one. Understanding the difference, you say, I thought we're everlasting, because we do have those words. We're both. It just depends how you're looking at things. Everlasting means that you start at a point in time and live forever. That's true of Christians, isn't it? When does our point in time begin? When we believe on Christ as our Savior. When we believed on Christ as our Savior, we began at that point to live forever. Well, then how can we be eternal? Because only God is eternal. God is the only one who's lived before the beginning and created all things and will continue to live. So we cannot say that we're eternal because we didn't start with the beginning. Yes, except for one thing. When you got saved, your salvation, your regeneration, was a function of God the Holy Spirit. And he created you anew. You know this, right? He created you anew at that point in time. But the substance of your creation, which makes you you, what you consist of now, is from the Spirit of God. Are you following me? He didn't start off with a new little thing for Christians and say, well, this is what I'm going to do for you. He took of himself. And himself is that spiritual concept. So we're looking at a spiritual concept that comes from God that caused us to be born again. And that's what makes us us on the inside. And it comes from the Holy Spirit. And he's eternal, right? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are eternal. Therefore, what has been created in us is eternal because it comes from the eternality of God's nature. It's not that we, our consciousness, have lived forever, but the substance of the new man itself is eternal. Because it comes from the eternal one. Do you understand the difference between the two? Because of these things, therefore, we can trust him. So that's why Malachi 3:6 is so important, kids. I am Yahweh, I change not. And as you go through your life and things start to change in your life, you grab hold of that verse that your God, that you believed on as your Savior, changes not. He's the eternal one. And you're eternal too, because regardless of all the craziness that might go around you in life, and you know, you have those days, your God never changes. And you don't change inside either, because your substance is of his substance. Father, thank you for the study. We pray and bless it in Christ's name. Amen.